The Worm Ouroboros by E.R. Edison. Part 2 of Chapter 9. So at supper, when men's hearts were gladdened with good cheer, the Lord Just sat him down by Zeldornius, and opened to him this matter, saying, O renowned Zeldornius, how befalleth it that these 9 years thou pursuest after Jalcaneus Faustus, Shatterer of Hosts? And what was your difference betwixt you that set you by the ears? Zeldornius said, O Jus, must I answer thee by reasons in this matter that is ruled by the high stars, and fate that lays men at their length? Enough for thee that unpeace befell betwixt me and Jalcaneus mighty in war, and it was confirmed between us that by the arbitrament of the bloody field we should end our difference. But he abode me not, and these 9 years I seek to meet with him in vain. There was a third of you, said Jus. What tidings hast thou of Helteranius? Zeldornius answered him, No tidings. Wilt thou, said Jus, that I enlighten thee thereon? Zeldornius said, Thou and thy fellows alone of the children of men have spoken with me since these things began. For they that dwelt in this region fled years ago, accounting the place accursed. A paltry crew they were, and mean me to know for our swords. Speak, then, if thou meanest me well, and show me all. Helteranius, said Lord Jus, pursueth thee these 9 years, as thou pursuest Jalcaneus Faustus. My cousin here hath seen him but 6 days ago in this same place, and talked with him, and shook him by the hand, and knew his mind. Surely ye be all three holden by some enchantment, that being old comrades in arms, so strangely and to so little purpose do pursue each the other's life. I prithee, let us be a mean betwixt you all, to set you at one again, and free you from so strange a thraldom. But with those words spoken was Zeldornius grown red as blood. In a while he said, It were black treachery. I'll not credit it. But Lord Brandoc de Ha answered him, From his own lips I received it, O Zeldornius, and thereto I plight my troth. This besides, that Jalcaneus Faustus was turned from battling with thee 9 years ago, as he himself hath told me, and made firm his saying with most fearful oaths. By intelligence brought him that Helteranius was in that hour minded to take him in the rear. Ay, said Spitfire, and unto this day he marcheth on Helteranius's track as thou on his. With those words spoken was Zeldornius grown yellow as old parchment, and his white mustachios bristled like a lion's. He sat silent a while then, resting upon Jus the cold and steady gaze of his blue eyes. The world comes back to me, he said, and this memory therewith. That they of Demonland were truth-tellers, whether to friend or foe, and ever held it shame to cog and lie. All they bowed gravely, and he said with a great low of anger in his eyes, This Helteranius deviseth against me, it well appeareth, the selfsame treachery whereof he was falsely accused to Jalcaneus Faustus. There were no likelier place to crush him than here on Salapanta Ridge. If I stand here to abide his onset, the lie of the ground befriendeth me, and Jalcaneus cometh at his heels to gather the broken meats, after I have made my feast. Brandoc de Ha said in Jus's ear, Our peacemaking taketh a pretty turn, heels of the air, monstrous unladylike. But naught they could say would move Zeldornius. So in the end they offered him their backing in this adventure. and when the day is won, then shalt thou lend us thy might in our enterprise, and aid us in our wars with Witchland that be for to come." But Zeldornia said, "O Jus, and ye lords of Demonland, I yield you thanks, but ye shall not meddle in this battle. For we came, three captains, with our hosts unto this land, and beheld the land, and laid it under us. Ours it is, and if any meddle or make with us, were we never so set at enmity one with another, we must join together in his despite, and bring him to bane. Be still, then, and behold, and see what birth fate shall bring forth on Salapanta Hills. But if I live, thereafter shall ye have my friendship, and my help in all your enterprises whatsoever." For a while he sat without speech, his stark-veined hands clenched on the board before him. Then rising, went without word to the door of his pavilion to study the night. Then turned he back to Lord Jus, and spake to him. "Know that when this moon was now past, was but 3 days old, I began to be troubled with a catarrh or rheum, which yet troubleth me. And well thou wottest that whoso falleth sick on the 3rd day of the moon's age, he will die. To-night also is a new moon, and of a Saturday, and that betokeneth fighting and bloodshed. Also the wind bloweth from the south, and he that beginneth that game with a south wind shall have the victory. With such uncertain blackness and brightness openeth the door of fate before me." Jus bowed his head and said, "O Zeldornius, thy speech is sooth." "I was ever a fighter," said Zeldornius. Far into the night sat they in the tent of renowned Zeldornius, drinking and talking of life and destiny and old wars, and the chances of war and great adventure. And an hour after midnight they parted, and Jus and Spitfire and Brandok Daha betook them to their rest in the watchtower on the ridge of Salapanta. On such wise passed 3 days by, Zeldornius waiting with his army on the hill, and the demons supping with him nightly. And on the 3rd day he drew out his army as for battle, expecting Helteranius. But neither that day, nor the next, nor the next day following, brought sight nor tidings of Helteranius. And strange it seemed to them, and hard to guess what turn of fortune had delayed his coming. The 6th night was overcast, and murk darkness covered the earth. When supper was done, as the demons betook themselves to their sleeping place, they heard a scuffle and the voice of Brandok Daha, who went foremost of them, crying, "Here have I caught a heath-dog's whelp. Give me a light. What shall we do with him?" Men were roused, and lights brought, and Brandok Daha surveyed that which he held pinioned by the arms, caught by the entrance to the fortalice. One with scared wild-beast eyes and a swart face, golden earrings in his ears, and a thick, close-cropped beard interlaced with gold wire twisted among its curls. Bare-armed, with a tunic of otter-skin and wide hairy trousers cross-stitched with silver thread, a circlet of gold on his head, and frizzed dark hair plaited in 2 thick tails that hung forward over his shoulders. His lips were drawn back like a cross-grained dog snarling betwixt fear and fierceness, and his white-pointed teeth and the whites of his eyes flashed in the torchlight. So they had him with them into the tower, and set him before them, and Jus said, "Fear not, but tell forth unto us thy name and lineage, and what brings thee lurking in the night about our lodging. We mean thee no hurt, so thou practice not against us and our safety. Art thou a dweller in this implant, or a wanderer like as we be, from countries beyond the seas? Hast thou companions, and if so, where be they, and what, and how many? And the stranger gnashed upon them with his teeth, and said, O devils transmarine, mock not, but slay! Jus entreated him kindly, giving him meat and drink, and in a while made question of him once more. What is thy name? Whereto he replied, O devil transmarine, pity of thine ignorance, sith thou know'st not Mivarsh Faz. And he fell into a great passion of weeping, crying aloud, Woe worth the woe that has fallen upon all the land of Impland! What's the matter? Said Jus. But Mivarsh ceased not to wail and to lament, saying, Out, Harrow, and alas for Faxfay Faz, and Ilarosh Faz, and Lurmesh Faz, and Gandasa Faz, and all the great ones in the land. And when they would have questioned him, he cried again, Curse ye bitterly Philprits Faz, who betrayed us into the hand of the devil Ultramontane in the castle of Orpish. What devil is this thou speakest of? Asked Jus. He hath come, he answered, over the mountains, out of the north country, that alone was able to answer Faxfay Faz, and the voice of his speech is like unto the roaring of a bull. Out of the north? Said Jus, giving him more wine, and exchanging glances with Spitfire and Brandok Daha. I would hear more of this. Mivarsh drank, and said, O devils transmarine, ye give me strong waters which comfort my soul, and ye speak me soft words. But shall I not fear soft words? Soft words were spoke by this devil Ultramontane, when he and cursed Philprit spake soft words unto us in Orpish, unto me, and unto Faxfay Faz, and Gandasa, and Ilarosh, and unto all of us, after our overthrow in battle against him by the banks of Arlan. Jus asked, Of what fashion is he to look on? He hath a great yellow beard beflecked with grey, said Mivarsh, and a bald shiny pate, and standeth big as a neat. Jus spake apart to Brandok Daha, There's matter in it, if this be true. And Brandok Daha poured forth unto Mivarsh, and bade him drink again, saying, O Mivarsh Faz, we be strangers and guests in wide-flung Impland. Be it known to thee that our power is beyond ken, and our wealth transcendeth the imagination of man. Yet is our benevolence of like measure with our power and riches, overflowing as honey from our hearts unto such as receive us openly and tell us that which is. Only be warned that if any lie to us or assay craftily to delude us, not the manticores that lodge beyond the Maruna were more dreadful to that man than we. Mivarsh quailed, but answered him, Use me well, you were best, and you shall hear from me naught but what is true. First with the sword he vanquished us, and then with subtle words invited us to talk with him in Orpish, pretending friendship. But they are all dead that hearkened to him. For when he held them closed up in the council room in Orpish, himself went secretly forth, while his men laid hands on Gandasa Faz, and on Ilarosh Faz, and on Faxfay Faz, that was greatest among us, and on Lurmesh Faz, and cut off their heads, and set them up on poles without the gate. And our armies that waited without were dismayed to see the heads of the Fazes of Impland so set on poles, and the armies of the devils Ultramontane still threatening us with death. And this big bald-bearded devil spake them of Impland fair, saying these that he had slain were their oppressors, and he would give them their heart's desire if they would be his men, and he would make them free, every man, and share out all Impland amongst them. So were the common sort befooled and brought under by this bald devil from beyond the mountains. And now none withstandeth him in all Impland. But I that had held back from his counsel in Orpish, feel it fearing his guile, hardly escaped from my folk that rose against me, and I fled into the woods and wildernesses. "Where last saw ye him?" asked Jus. Mavarsh answered him, "A 3 days' journey northwest of this, at Tormarish, in Akari." "What made he there?" asked Jus. Mavarsh answered, "Still devising evil." "Against whom?" asked Jus. Mavarsh answered, "Against Zeldornius, which is a devil transmarine." "Give me some more wine," said Jus, "and fill again a beaker for Mavarsh Faz. I do love naught so much as tale-telling o' knights. With whom devised he against Zeldornius?" Mavarsh answered, "With another devil from beyond seas. I have forgot his name." "Drink and remember," said Jus, "or if 'tis gone from thee, paint me his picture." "He hath about my bigness," said Mavarsh, that was little of stature. "His eyes be bright, and he somewhat favoureth this one," pointing at Spitfire, "though belike he hath not all so fierce a face. He is lean-faced and dark of skin. He goeth in black iron."
"Is he Jalcaneus Faustus?" asked Jus.
And Mavarsh answered,
"Ay!"
"There's musk and amber in thy speech," said Jus. "I must have more of it. What mean they to do?"
"This," said Mavarsh, "as I sat listening in the dark without their tent, it was made absolute that this Jalcaneus had been deceived in supposing that another devil transmarine, whom men call Helteranius, had been minded to do treacherously against him. Whereas, as the bald devil made him believe, 'twas no such thing. And so it was concluded that Jalcaneus should send riders after Helteranius to make peace between them, and that they two should forthwith join to kill Zeldornius, one falling on him in the front and the other in the rear."
"So 'tis come to this?" said Spitfire.
"And when they have Zeldornius slain," said Mavarsh, "then must they help this bald-pate in his undertakings."
"And so pay him for his reds?" said Jus. And Mavarsh answered,
"Even so."
"One thing more I would know," said Jus. "How great a following hath he in Impland?"
"The greatest strength that he can make," answered Mavarsh, "of devils ultramontane, is, as I think, 200. Many imps beside will follow him, but they have but our country weapons."
Lord Brandok the Ha took Jus by the arm and went forth with him into the night. The frosted grass crunched under their tread. Strange stars blinked in the south in a windy space betwixt cloud and sleeping earth, Akernar near the meridian bedimming all lesser fires with his pure radiance.
"So cometh Corund upon us as an eagle out of the sightless blue," said Brandok the Ha, "with 12 times our forces to let us the way to the Maruna, and all Impland like a spaniel smiling at his heel. If indeed this simple soul say true, as I think he doth."
"Thou fallest all of a holiday mood," said Jus, "at the first scenting of this great hazard."
"Oh, Jus," cried Brandok the Ha, "thine own breath lighteneth at it, and thy words come more sprightly forth. Are not all lands, all airs, one country unto us? So there be great doings afoot to keep bright our swords."
Jus said, Here we sleep. I will inform Zeldornius how the wind shifteth. He must face both ways now till this field be cut. This battle must not go against him, for his enemies be engaged, if Mavarsh say true, to give the help of their swords to Corund. So fared they to Zeldornius' tent, and just said by the way, Of this be satisfied. Corund beareth not blade on the hills of Salapanta. The king hath intelligencers to keep him well advertised of all enchanted circles of the world, and well he knoweth what influences move here, and with what danger to themselves outlanders draw sword here. Has witnessed the doom fulfilled these 9 years by these three captains. Therefore will Corund, instructed in these things by his master that sent him, look to deal with us otherwhere than in this charmed corner of the earth. And he were as well take a bear by the tooth as meddle in the fight that now impendeth, and so bring upon him these three seasoned armies joined in one for his destruction. They passed the guard with the watchword, and waked Zeldornius, and told him all. And he, muffled in his great faded cloak, went forth to see guards were set, and all sure against an onslaught from either side. And standing by his tent to give good night to those lords of Demonland, he said, It likes me better so. I ever was a fighter. So, one fight more. The morrow dawned and passed uneventful, and the morrow's morrow. But on the third morning after the coming of Mavarsh, behold, east and west, great armies marching from the plains, and Zeldornius' array drawn up to meet them on the ridge, with weapons gleaming and horses champing and trumpets blowing the call of battle. No greetings were betwixt them, nor so much as a message of challenge or defiance. But Jalcanias with his black riders rushed to the onset from the west, and Helteranius from the east. But Zeldornius, like a gray old wolf, snapping now this way, now that, stemmed the tide of their onslaught. So began the battle great and fell, and continued the livelong day. Thrice on either side Zeldornius went forth with a great strength of chosen men, insomuch that his enemies fled before him as the partridge doth before the sparrow-hawk. And thrice did Helteranius, and thrice Jalcanias Faustus, rally and hurl him back, mounting the ridge anew. But when it drew near to evening, and the dark day darkened toward night, the battle ceased, dying down suddenly into silence. Those lords of Demonland came down from their tower, and walked among the heaps of dead men slain toward a place of slabby rock in the neck of the ridge. Here, alone on that field, Zeldornius leaned upon his spear, gazing downward in a study, his arm cast about the neck of his old brown horse, who hung his head and sniffed the ground. Through a rift in the western clouds the sun glared forth, but his beams were not so red as the ling and bent of Salapanta field. As Jus and his companions drew near, no sound was heard save from the fortalice behind them, a discordant plucking of a harp, and the voice of Mavarsh where he walked and harped before the walls, singing this ditty.
The hag is astride this night for to ride the devil and she together. Through thick and through thin, now out and then in, though ne'er so foul be the weather. A thorn or a bur she takes for a spur, with a lash of a bramble she rides now. Through brakes and through briars, o'er ditches and mires, she follows a spirit that guides now. No beast for his food dares now range the wood, but hushed in his lair he lies lurking, While mischiefs by these on land and on sea at noon of night are a-working, the storm will arise and trouble the skies this night and more for the wonder. The ghost from the tomb affrighted shall come, called out by the clap of the thunder.
When they were come to Zeldornius, the Lord just spake, saying, O most redoubtable Zeldornius, renowned in war, surely thy prognostications by the moon were true. Behold the noble victory that thou hast obtained upon thine enemies. But Zeldornius answered him not, still gazing downwards before his feet. And there was Helteranius fallen, the sword of Jalcanias Faustus standing in his heart, and his right hand grasping still his own sword that had given Jalcanias his bane sore. So looked they a while on those two great captains slain. And Zeldornius said, Speak not comfortably to me of victory, O Jus. So long as that sword and that had his master alive, I did not more desire mine own safety than their destruction, who with me in days gone by made conquest of wide Impland. And see with what a poisoned violence they labored my undoing, and in what an unexpected ruin are they suddenly broke and gone. And as one grown into a deep sadness, he said, Where were all heroical parts? But in Helteranius. And a man might make a garment for the moon sooner than fit the o'erleaping actions of great Jalcanias, who now leaveth but his body to bedung that earth that was lately shaken at his terror. I have waded in red blood to the knee, and in this hour, in my old years, the world has become for me a vision only, and a mock show. Therewith he looked on the demons, and there was that in his eyes that stayed their speech. In a while he spake again, saying, I swear unto you my furtherance if I prevailed. But now is mine army passed away, as wax wasteth before the fire. And I wait the dark ferryman who tarrieth for no man. Yet since never have I wrote mine obligations in sandy, but in marble memories. And since victory is mine, receive these gifts. And first thou, O Brandoc Daha, my sword, since before thou wast of years 18, thou wast accounted the mightiest among men-at-arms. Mightily may it avail thee, as me, in time gone by. And unto thee, O Spitfire, I give this cloak. Old it is, yet may it stand thee in good stead, since this virtue it hath, that he who weareth it shall not fall alive into the hand of his enemies. Wear it for my sake. But unto thee, O Jus, give I no gift, for rich thou art of all good gifts. Only my good will give I unto thee, ere earth gape for me. So they thanked him well. And he said, Depart from me, since now approacheth that which must complete this day's undoing. So they fared back to the spy Fortalice, and night came down on the hills. A great wind moaning out of the hueless west tore the clouds as a ragged garment, revealing the lonely moon that fled naked betwixt them. As the demons looked backward in the moonlight to where Zeldornius stood gazing on the dead, a noise as of thunder made the firm land tremble and drowned the howling of the wind. And they beheld
how Earth gaped for Zeldornius. After that, the dark shut down athwart the moon, and night and silence hung on the field of Salapanta. Mavarsha's staves on Salapanta were written by Robert Herrick, 1591 to 1674, in Hesperides. It was sung to the tune Devil's Nag from Playfair, which seems to actually be the right tune. End of chapter 9.